Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz and I'm joined this week by, we have a few guests this week. We have three actually. One is nurse practitioner Patricia Anthony. Patricia is the program manager for the Hackensack Meridian Health JFK Brain Tumor Center, facilitator and founder of the Central New Jersey Brain Tumor Support Group. Also, Stanley Schrodo is here, secretary of the Central New Jersey Brain Tumor Support Group. And we have Mike here, who is going to tell his story, how he got involved with the support group. And he is a surviving spouse and caregiver to his husband and partner for 21 years. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Well, let's start with, anybody can jump in anytime, but I guess we'll start with Patricia. If you could first tell us about the Brain Tumor Center at JFK.
Sure. We have a comprehensive brain tumor center at JFK with both with clinical trials as well as, state-of-the-art neurosurgery techniques and neuro-oncology. We have a genomic lab that's also on site for our brain tumor patients. The tissue when patients have surgery, which the genomic profiling has really made the differences in diagnosis of some of these tumors. So it's exciting that we have that right on site at our hospital, so we don't have to send out our pathology.
You are the founder of the Central New Jersey Brain Tumor Support Group, which is what we were going to be focusing on this morning primarily.
Yes.
How did that come about?
At the time, I was working for a private neurosurgeon, and what I found, being in the office working for him, was how brain tumors affect patients differently than other cancers. Breast cancer, colon cancer, you don't really see the effects a lot of times of that, but with brain tumors, depending on where it affects you in the brain, you have a disability that's present, or your speech is off, or emotional challenges. It affects the whole being of the patient. So it just made me think at that time that we need to have a support group that for patients and families. There wasn't any in the state of New Jersey at the time or in this local area.
And how did you get involved, Stanley?
Unfortunately, our son, Matt, had an inoperable brain tumor. And just as a aside, Patty founded the group in October of 91. Mm-hmm. Our son started having problems at his work in December and was diagnosed on Friday the 13th in December of 91 with an inoperable brain tumor. And my wife found Patty online, and we went to our first meeting in, I guess it was February of 92.
Okay, and what is it like when you first went to the meeting? What is the experience when you get there in the meeting? How many people were there? I mean, we're going back 30 years here, 30-some years.
Yes,
huh? Yeah.
Right. Well, to start off, our son was like 6'3", nice-looking young guy, and he said, Dad, I'm not really a support group kind of guy. Well, that lasted for like two meetings, and then guess who was telling Dad, on the first Thursday of the month, you can't work overtime, you got to come home, we got to go to the meetings. The people we met after, on the way home after the second meeting, he says, these people really get it. When I say I've got double vision, they know what I'm talking about. They're very outgoing. He was, of course, the youngest guy there. He was, at the time, 21 years old. He really looked forward to the meetings.
And, Mike, you also were a member of the meetings, or you would attend the meetings with your spouse, who has since passed. Tell us about your experience there. Tell us about your experience there, but also your experience of being the partner or the spouse of someone going through this and what that's like and the things that you need to deal with.
Yeah, thank you. So Bob, my late husband, was diagnosed in February of 2020, just before COVID became a very real thing. So when you get broadsided with a diagnosis like this, turns your world upside down in a real hurry. And you can very quickly, if you don't have family history or an experience base, it turns your world upside down instantaneously. And you start to realize very quickly that you don't know what you don't know. And you're kind of navigating your way through this journey, kind of feeling rather alone. And again, the timing of when Bob was diagnosed was right before COVID became a very real thing. So we were going through diagnosis and treatment in the April, May timeframe, and now the COVID lockdowns were real. And our neuro-oncologist office, they were just phenomenal. We were up at Columbia Presbyterian in New York, and they, from the very outset, worked with us to help us learn what support was out there. And one of the resources that they provided to us was the link to the Central New Jersey Brain Tumor Support Group. And so Bob and I, at that point in time, the group had gone virtual, like everything. Obviously, we couldn't meet in person. So our initial and my only experience to date with the group has been virtual. So thankfully, we moved very quickly to the Zoom space. Mm-hmm. And we sat in on our first meeting and quickly realized that the support group was there to help. Patty, leading off, would talk about things such as the latest treatment options that are coming available, what's in research and development, you know, and just spreading the word of what is going on. So you start to learn what questions to ask of your own doctor. As a caregiver, seeing your partner and loved one go through this and how the treatment can affect them mentally and emotionally, you start to realize that you as a caregiver are affected every bit as much as the patient.
Sure.
And so having a support group for both patients and caregivers was so incredible. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about in the support group is that everybody's journey is unique to them. And so having that support group and hearing, you know, my story where my spouse did not survive and Matt and Stan's son, Matt, did not survive. There are members of the group that are 20 and 30 years out from their diagnosis and treatment. So having that support of survivorship and just the support of people who've been through it and are going through it and knowing that you're not alone and you have that outlet, you have that support is just incredibly important and stronger than I can put into words.
Yeah. So there are people in the group now who have been there since its inception?
Yeah, we have a few that are very longstanding survivors, and some don't come back. They come back as they need it. You know, sometimes these tumors can lay low for a while, or they start out as a lower grade tumor and they can reoccur years later as a higher grade tumor. So they might take a span of time off and come back, you know, when they need it or when they need the resources or just the support from the others in the group, because now they have a recurrence. So there's, you know, 130 different types of brain tumors out there. And so they always, once you have a tumor, you always have to be watched. So even a not so fast growing tumor or a malignant tumor, a non-malignant tumor can become malignant over time. So the group is there during that whole journey that they're going through.
So, yeah, you're there for the emotional support, but there's also other ways of supporting people with brain tumors. Could you touch on that?
Yeah, and you know, COVID did a number on a lot of the financial advocacy groups. You know, they didn't have the funding or people were reaching into the pockets of the funding. So, you know, a lot of times there's financial limitations, you know, our resources for patients out there. But just in the course of the newer drugs that are coming out, they're, you know, expensive, and a lot of the insurance companies aren't covering them. So a lot of times the access to getting the medications financially are in a timely fashion because you're trying to pay for them. So, you know, recently I had two patients that are on an old drug called lomustine, The drug now is, you know, bought out by a new pharma company in the recent years, and it's called Gliostine. It comes on. And that drug, not like Medicare doesn't always cover the cost of it. It's not covered by some of the other insurances, and it's not like it, so it's not covered under Part B of the Medicare, like some of the chemotherapies. It's covered under Part D. So the costs are high out of pocket. So you have one patient paying per month $1,800 and the other patient's paying $800 depending, but it's still it's a 6-month course. That's a significant amount of money for people to pay out of pocket.
So sure,
trying
yeah.
to help and find financial resources for them is often difficult. And it's the same with transportation. And, you know, New Jersey doesn't have a really great transportation program out there for patients that, you know, might have a disability where they can't walk out and get like an access link. So, you know, an insurance doesn't cover it. So if you are in a wheelchair or need more assistance with getting into a vehicle, it might cost you somewhere like $800 out of pocket just to go for a chemotherapy treatment that's every other week. And how do people afford this? And so it can be challenging to find financial resources for these patients.
And what happens if they're unable to find these resources and they don't have the money?
We've tapped into resources that through our group. There are some foundations that we can find. We have people that, you know, like I've had people pay out of pocket, and then we try to find resources to help cover those courses, cover that expense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been lucky that we have helped, but I'm sure there's patients that don't talk about the costs and their bills, and maybe Mike or Stan, you can talk about a little bit more. You know, people have mounting bills that they just put aside. I know personally, dealing with friends that had had cancer, they had bills that they couldn't pay, but they knew they needed the care, so they left them aside, and you know, and had mount like thousands and thousands of dollars of bills that they could not pay.
Stan, talk about your journey in regards to the financial aspect of the situation.
Well, we're talking 30 years ago, mm-hmm. and fortunately, my son had just gotten a job, and he was very lucky in that they covered him from day one, and he was 3.5-4 months into the job when he discovered he had the brain tumor. His out-of-pocket payments were like nothing compared to what you see now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, he had a low-paying job, and so we had to dig in and find the payments for him, and that worked for quite a while, and then it does get to be a bit of a problem. I was lucky where I was working at the time, and we managed to get through it. But over the years, we've seen so many people, especially, as Patty said, the cost of drugs is just fantastic now. It's just unbelievable, some
yeah.
of them.
But also, the company that we deal with Lomustine, they do have a foundation through their company, which we've been very lucky to get meds, you know, from the company when patients can't afford them. They do kick in and have resources within their, within their company as well. So most drug or pharmaceutical companies have some kind of needs program for their patients.
And Mike, what was your experience financially?
Thankfully, again, like Stan, I was employed at the time of Bob's journey, and he was on my benefits at work. He was self-employed, and we had good benefits through my work. And much like Stan's story, Bob was covered from day one. Now, a single visit to the neuro-oncologist for an MRI and consult with the neuro-oncologist would easily put us at our annual out-of-pocket maximum. Just one single visit. I don't recall exactly how much was billed over the course of Bob's journey. And keep in mind that his journey was his first two focal seizures that led to the diagnosis occurred in January of 2020. He passed away Christmas Eve of 2021. So his entire journey from start to finish was just under 2 years. And in that time frame, I don't remember what was billed to insurance, but what was paid out and approved by insurance for less than that two-year period of time was about $1.2 million was paid out. So when you think about what does it look like for somebody that doesn't have incredibly good insurance coverage, it's terrifying.
Or no insurance. What do you do?
What do those people say? How do they make the choice of what bills they're going to pay? It's very, very scary.
We're talking with nurse practitioner Patricia Anthony, who is the program manager for Hackensack Meridian Health JFK Brain Tumor Center and the facilitator and founder of the Central NJ Brain Tumor Support Group. Secretary for the support group is Stanley Schrodo. He lost his son, Matt, to a brain tumor. And Mike is with us, who is a surviving spouse and caregiver to his husband, who he lost, as you just heard, a couple of years ago, with his partner Bob for 21 years. What are some of the latest treatments? We touched on that earlier, the talk about the latest treatments when the meeting starts, Patricia. What's going on now? Have we made strides over the past several years?
We have. You know, it was a standstill for a long time with glioblastoma, and we only had a handful of treatment options for these patients, newly diagnosed as well as recurrent disease. With newly diagnosed, you know, we have an oral chemotherapy and radiation, and as well as a device, tumor treatment field that's worn on the head for the patients. They're both FDA approved and part of the standard care. Some of the newer treatment options are coming into play because of this genomic profiling. So when we talk about genomic profiling, it's looking at certain markers on the tumor. So these markers on the tumors are giving us other options, and that drugs that are targeted, more of a targeted therapy. So we now have small studies that are showing different types of drugs that are targeting these markers that are giving us other options, some of the immunotherapy type medication. So we are seeing some positives in that landscape. It's nice to know that we have more eggs in our baskets if these tumors come back, and more targeted and looking at, some of the specific tumor types where, you know, drugs will be giving longer term survivors or survival.
Well, one of the things I always tell the people, when we keep hearing about all these new drugs and things, be careful. It takes a long time for these things to go from the laboratory to get out to our people using them. And what's scary is, meanwhile, more people are dying. It's so frustrating to hear about these good things that are coming, and they don't get here because of control, let's say, by the FDA.
Sure, yeah.
To make them go through the rigorous proof that they're really beneficial. Maybe one drug might help 30% of the people, and another drug may help a different 30%. We've got to get these in out of the pipeline and into use quicker.
Do we know what takes so long?
Part of it's the FDA and looking at, so they're changing the process of how clinical trial works so that hopefully that maybe shortening the stages of some of the clinical trials that has to go through, a phase one where you're seeing, what the drug and the safety on that drug, so maybe combining some of the stages so that we can get drugs faster if we knowing that they're working. The, other thing is just the looking at the FDA and how they're approving them. So if they're seeing that these drugs are responding in some of these rare cancers and there is a response, then having priority reviews so that we can maybe get access to these drugs faster. We, in our when we utilize the drugs that are considered standard of care for newly diagnosed and then recurrent disease, some of the drugs that once you've gone through and patients have failed a drug, you can go to the next drug. Some of the drugs mm-hmm. that have these small studies that are positive, we're getting insurance companies to approve the drugs, which in the past we haven't had that. So I am seeing some changes with how insurances are handling approvals for medication. So it is giving us access to care that the patients wouldn't have had in the past, which is extending life. So we're having, you have more options and giving more chance for survival to these patients.
A lot of test drugs as well, I would imagine, right?
If you have a company like, you know, that's utilizing the drug and they're getting positive results and it's a small number of patients, how do you know that this person's not going to be one of those patients? So if you can provide the insurance company with that data, a lot of them will look at it and say, okay, he's exhausted all of the FDA-approved drugs for this treatment, and they are giving us that shotting, allowing us, and they're paying for those drugs for these patients, which is a positive. We didn't always see that.
Well, in the couple minutes that we have left, I just want to give the floor to each of you one at a time. Is there anything that you want to share or add to the conversation that maybe we didn't cover? And I guess let's start with Mike.
Well, first off, thank you for the opportunity to help promote awareness, because I think that's one of the things that is one of the biggest benefits of a brain tumor support group is the reach that they start to have in creating awareness, because for both patients and survivors, or I should say caregivers, knowing what resources are out there, both from treatment standpoint, financial standpoint, support standpoint, it's just hypercritical. And promoting that awareness is to me one of the most powerful things. So I thank Patty for having founded this group 33 plus years ago, and Stan for being such an instrumental part of its continuation over the years. So, and I thank this podcast and this group for putting this podcast on to help, again, further the awareness and hopefully the message that we need to continue to unify and get further research into treatment advancements. So thank you very much for the opportunity to tell a little bit of my story here today.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Thank you for telling your story.
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure people know how to get in touch with us. I'm sure you're going to put the word out, but let's just say njbt.org. And I just want to say we're having about 150 emails out every month to the families in northern and central New Jersey. I had an interesting thing yesterday. I had a young kid come by trying to sell me solar panels, and I have a sign in the window about brain tumors. He finished getting understood that I wasn't going to buy them. He turned around to leave, and then he turned around again and he said, "Could I ask you what the sign's about?" I told him, "Well, we run a support group for brain tumor patients and families." And he looked like he was getting ready to cry. And he says, "My sister was diagnosed with a brain tumor 3 months ago." I run into things like that all the time. It's just unbelievable how many brain tumors there are that we don't even hear about in our group. So thank you for getting the word out.
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of people that don't know about the group. Patricia, if you could wrap it up for us, anything you'd like to add?
We meet the first Thursday of every month. The going online we thought was going to be hard for all of us being on Zoom, but I think it's actually expanded our group access, because we have people that come from out of state now and, someone like Mike. So I think although we don't meet face-to-face, being online has given more people access to our group.
Yeah, because you talked about transportation issues. So yeah.
Correct. So that has been great, and we still keep saying that we are going to meet in person. The group has, been wonderful for me, because as a practitioner, you can learn so much from books and from reading, but to hear the story that you're hearing today has changed the way that I practice, because it brings it real, and then I know what people are living through when they're going through this journey, and I can bring that to my patients and, tell them you know, others are going through this. So I think it's a win-win for both of us. And it's just made me a better nurse.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you, Stanley. Thank you, Mike, for taking the time to speak this morning. And hopefully, you know, I'm sure there are people listening who may have the same situation as the salesman that came to Stan's door. And hopefully they'll get help or they'll reach out to you. For more information, you can go to njbt.org. For a podcast of this show, you can go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we will talk again next week.